You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hey everyone, Tim McMaster here, along with our MLB.com Rays reporter Bill Chastain. And Bill, the Rays surging a little bit. As we record the podcast, they've won four in a row after topping the D-backs on Monday, and three of four in the series before that. That said, they had fallen off the pace a little bit in the American League East. So this was much needed and just in time. What's been different these last four games? What's going right for this team? I know Chris Archer had 12 strikeouts on Monday night, a good sign for him. What do you like about this team over the last week?
Well, the hitting is hard not to like right now. I mean, Morrison and Longoria have been, you know, really putting on a power show. And, you know, I know a lot of Rays fans were frustrated with Morrison in the early going, but he has really turned it on now. And then Longoria, he told me the other day that he's made a little alteration in his stance, and it feels really good, and it's probably the best he's felt in 2 years.
Yeah, and Evan Longoria named American League Player of the Week. Seventh time in his career he's gotten that. But for the week, that was last week, 13-28, 464, nine-game hitting streak. He had eight extra base hits in those seven games and nine RBIs. What exactly was the adjustment?
Well, from my understanding, it was kind of he opened up a little bit, opened up his stance a little bit, and he's seeing the ball a little better. And, you know, he said at first it was kind of hard or a struggle because, you know, he'd done it the other way for so long. But once he started getting some good results, he feels pretty comfortable with it.
I mentioned Archer and improves to 4-7 on the season, which is obviously disappointing for him so far. He did allow three earned over six innings. I know he'd like to go further into a game, but part of that is the strikeouts. If you're going to strike out 12 guys, it's going to take some extra pitches. That was a season-high 12 strikeouts. Is that a good sign for Archer when he's striking guys out? Does it mean he's coming around?
You know, I mean, I think the way his season's gone, you have to look at anything positive as being a positive. So, you know, he has struggled, you know, for whatever reason, even though he likes to say it's just a process and, you know, he's not as results, you know, he's not as much in tune to the results as he is the process. You know, the results do matter. So I think he got some good results last night. So I think that's got to be perceived as a positive.
One thing that's been consistent through this four-game win streak, Bill, has been Colome closing out all four games. And I think Kevin Cash made a joke that he was going to make sure Colome wasn't even in the ballpark on Tuesday so he couldn't use him. But you never want to go to your closer that many times. But Colome this season just every night seems to rise to the occasion.
And of course, the start of that streak, he had like 5 days off before
right.
that, and he was kind of rusty. So, I mean, and I believe it was a five-out or maybe even a six-out save the first one. But it was a little bit, you know, a little bit rough. But he wanted to get back out there the next night and, you know, with the rust knocked off, and he's pretty tough.
He certainly is, and he's going to need to continue to be tough because what a tough break for Boxberger. Comes back for one game, Bill, in an oblique strain, 4 to 8 more weeks. And this is a team where they have the closer, but it's that most teams that are successful, it seems like, have really three go-to guys late in the game. Maybe not dominant guys like the Yankees have, but three guys they can really trust late in a game to close out a win. And it seems like the Rays just don't have those three right now. And it's Boxberger could have helped that cause, but now missing him for even longer. How do they go about solving that problem over the next month to 2 months?
Well, I mean, they just have to continue the way they've been doing all season. Really, you know, they've had Boxberger for one game. So if you're the Rays, you just got to hope that your starters are going to give you more innings and then you won't have to use up your bullpen as much just to patch up innings as compared to using them for matchups. So, you know, I would look to see a lot of Sandano late. And, you know, Eni Romero, when he's good, is really good. So they're hoping he comes back a little bit stronger. But Colome, you know, is a pretty good way to end the game.
Yeah, certainly is. Just got to get to him. They've certainly been doing that lately. The injury bug, though, really striking this team. Guyer now on the 15-day disabled list, strained left hamstring. So you're without Guyer, you're without Kiermaier. I know they recalled Nick Franklin from AAA, but Franklin more of an infielder, obviously. They need guys to step up in that outfield, and Desmond Jennings did that on Monday night, Bill, and boy, just in the nick of time, he had been really struggling. How much do they need Jennings now more than ever with all the injuries?
Well, it would certainly help. Obviously, Cash has said that he's hopeful that, you know, whether it's Jennings or Matuk, one of them could get hot and, you know, kind of take over the position. So I think it's still kind of up in the air. It was a nice night for Jennings last night, though.
Franklin coming up. Obviously, here's a guy who had a chance to be a starter on this team really a year ago, but hasn't gotten it done at the major league level. What does he need to do? Where does Nick Franklin come up short, it seems like, when he's up at the big league level as opposed to a guy who was a prospect through the minor leagues?
Well, you go all the way back to last year. He was supposed to make the team out of spring training and ended up straining an oblique in the last week of spring training, and then he missed like the first month and a half. And then when he got back to the team, it was kind of like he was going through spring training, so he really didn't have very good results. That kind of threw him off the radar. I don't think anybody was surprised he didn't make the team out of spring. He seems to be finding his way a little bit, you know, back at Durham, but it did take a series of injuries, you know, for him to get back up, and who knows, maybe this will be the chance he needed.
Yeah, sometimes it just takes a couple of trips, and maybe he can get it going this time around. Bill, the draft is coming up on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. Coverage on MLB.com, also MLB Network. The Rays in the first round have the 13th pick, so we're not going to really discuss who they may pick because who knows who's around at that time. I know there's been names shouted out there, a lot of college arms as possibilities. But as far as the Rays in general, obviously the draft has been a place where they've really made their mark. I mean, that's what's made this team successful over the years has been smart drafting, and obviously they've had this run of young pitchers year after year after year, and a lot of those guys were drafted and built up through the system. Is the philosophy the same now as it's always been when it comes to draft day for the Rays?
Oh, yeah, it's always going to be bring a lot of pitchers into the system. Of course, the one weakness they've had, you know, over the years has probably not been drafting position players very well. And, you know, if that combined with a poor selection of pitchers, it can really hamstring them. I know Silverman was telling us the other day that probably nobody in baseball, you know, save for a couple of teams, really depends on the draft like the Rays do. And, you know, if they do have a bad draft, it can set them back some.
Yeah, it certainly hurts. And there was a time when they seemed to do they had a great run of position players, right? I mean, you think about Longoria and Carl Crawford was a guy. Upton, B.J. Upton, Melvin Upton Jr. now. There was a time when they were real good on the position front, and then it seems like they taken a hit. But I guess, I mean, you have to have a focus on one thing, right? If you're taking pitchers high in the draft year after year, it's going to be harder to find those position players later in the draft.
Well, also you got to remember Longoria was the third pick of the draft, and,
right,
and Upton was the second. So you generally hit on those, although, you know, Rays fans are quick to point out that when they had the first pick, they took Tim Beckham, and they could have had Buster Posey. But, you know, that one doesn't look real good these days. But, you know, it is tougher when you're drafting further down. I mean, you know, there's usually five guys that, you know, if you're lucky at the very top, that look like they're the sure, you know, real deal. And then the rest of them, it comes down to, you know, after you get past the first round, how your scouting department is picking these other guys, you know, like, just like finding a Kevin Kiermaier in the 32nd round.
The good news. Go ahead.
Exactly. I mean, that's about as good as it gets there.
Yeah. The good news, I guess, is that the drafting later means that you were having successful seasons, and that's something the Rays have had more of lately for sure. All right. Great stuff as always. This has been MLB.com Extras Rays Edition. For Bill Chastain, I'm Tim McMaster. Tune in again next week.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.